Louise McSharry
on 2FM.
Now, Zach Smith and Connor Stringer are athletes, dancers and performers who also take their clothes off as part of an adult entertainment show called Dream Boys. Like most performers, their performances were drawn to a halt and by the pandemic, and when they stopped, they realized the pressures from their performance life was taking a toll on their mental health. I'm so sorry, guys. Now they are keen to share their message of getting talking and talking to each other to improve your mental health. Hello, Zach and Connor.
Hey, hello. What is good? Hope you are well.
I'm
an introduction.
Oh well, I hope you're happy with it. You know, I'm always
marvelous. Yeah.
What is your preferred kind of way to be described, Zach? The job you do?
I'd just say male performer, because we perform an array of skills, right? So it's hard to just like put us into a little pigeonhole. But we are currently performing in, I guess, in adult entertainment, you could say. But yeah, I'd go with male performer.
What about you, Connor? Are you happy with that?
I'm happy with male performer, yeah, because as Zach said, there's many skills under our belt that we're doing at the minute and all the time that we've been doing for years. So male performer is perfect.
And are there terms that people use that you don't like to describe the work that you do?
Oh, gymnastics. I'm just gonna throw that one right in there. I've never been a gymnast.
It's like comparing a ballet dancer to a break dancer. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Both highly skilled, but different things. Anyway, look, so why don't we start at the very beginning? Zach, how did you get into this work?
Well, it all started when I was a troubled youth, should I say, and I just needed an outlet. So I started doing flips off walls I was about 11 years old. And then breakdancing class opened in my local youth centre, right? So I thought that was going to be really cool. So I went along to that and it was totally really cool. And just like as I went through my teens or whatever, I got really good at that. I ended up teaching it. And then like my career kind of snowballed. It was everything was quite an accident. Like I never really planned it. I just kept going along with new options that were presented to me, as you do in life, right? So from that, I then went and trained in musical theatre and then started a career in musical theatre. I did some film and TV work, and then I had a couple injuries, and I was very lucky to be asked to actually replace this guy in a show because he was going away to be a circus extraordinaire for Cirque du Soleil. So I actually just took his place in a show very similar to the one that we're in now.
And Connor, what about you? How did you find your way into this kind of work?
So I played football from the age of 6 to like 17, and I had a very troubled upbringing at school. I always used to get bullied for being like really overweight, and I used to get picked on and beaten up a lot at school. My parents were homeschooling me. They took me around the world for a year, which gave me like a very different perspective on how to live and how to be happy and how to, you know, how to go after what you want and like be who you are. And I remember as I was being homeschooled, I remember saying to my mum, I don't want to do it. I want to get a job. And I think I was like 15, 16 at the time of that. So I was quite old really, but didn't really have a clue. And because people were so nasty, I didn't really want to go out and do anything in my town. So when I found free running for the first time, I was just like, whoa, this is giving me this new sense of confidence and charisma about myself. And I don't care about any of these people anymore. It's given me this confidence. One of my first jobs was like presenting on Nickelodeon TV for Fruit Shoot.
Okay.
So I did that, but I still wasn't in very good shape. And one of my friends rung me up one day and they were like, look, I want you on the tour that I'm involved in, which is the first kind of like male performing show that we did. And he was like, but there's one thing, if you want to be on this tour, you've got to have abs. And I had no idea what the gym was. I had no idea about anything. My friends were all ripped and, I don't know, just would keep themselves in shape. And I just loved a good old-fashioned 26 packet of crisps a night. So, you know, it wasn't until my mate said, look, you really need some abs because I want you to come on tour with me, that I went, yeah, all right, then I'll get some abs for you. And then it all kind of like started from there.
It's interesting that you both kind of fell into it, which I suppose makes sense because I guess I would assume that it's not even that well known as a career choice. So there probably aren't that many guys growing up thinking, OK, that's what I'm going to do. But it makes total sense.
It wasn't at the start either. No, it really wasn't at the start. No one had a clue. Like, we didn't even know what we were doing.
Yeah.
If we'd have probably known what we knew now 10 years ago, like we'd be absolutely flying even further right now. Who knows what we did? But that's the point of us, is that we took the risks We both just said yes to everything and, you know, just jumped in with whatever we could do because we knew we didn't want a 9 to 5.
Zach, can I ask about the job itself? Because, you know, you guys have been speaking about the fact that there are kind of very specific pressures that you experience when you're working in the job. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, like, you have to look good all the time. You have to take care of yourself. Yeah. You have to stay in very, very good shape. Like, you know, with the whole dream boy image is buff. Yeah. And that presents its own problems when you're like myself and Connor. I'm a you know, trained dancer and an acrobat. Connor is a world-class acrobat. So being big and built doesn't go hand in hand with that. So that presents its own pressure. It's like, how do I stay top of my game here? With my physique and also stay top of my game with the way my body can move and deal with daily stress of touring and, you know, performing as many shows as we do a week, doing all the rehearsals and getting, like, you have to eat right all the time, yeah. Stay hydrated. You have to have a presence, you know, we need to get tickets coming in. So you've got to be quite active socially, social media.
That's a lot.
It's quite a lot, yeah.
And that's day to day, only a tiny bit of what you have to think about day to day. That's just what we've programmed into our heads to think about daily. And that's not even the half of it.
And so then what happened then when the pandemic hit and you had to stop? It seems like you guys kind of came to a realization that maybe the way that you were dealing with these pressures wasn't the best way, Connor.
It was. So when the pandemic hit, I was actually in LA working for Cirque du Soleil. So I was I got sent home within 2 days of moving from LA to Costa Mesa, like another city. And when I came home, that was like kind of like a bit of a dream ruined for me.
Yeah,
I was going through a really hard time as well inside my head. And when I got home, things just got worse. Mm. All the taking of drugs to like combat my feelings. It was a very, very big like amount of self-destruction. Mm. Like a lot of chaos went on. Zach and I had to kind of like help each other get through it. I confided him in the start because I knew that he knew what I felt like and what I was feeling and was doing the same thing as me. And I said, like, is this right? What do we do? Like, how do we stop feeling this way? Or is this the right thing for us to do, you know, while we're still doing the wrong thing? It's strange.
So
yeah.
So you were in the same boat, Zach. You were, you, what was it, drink, drugs?
Drink and drugs for me, yeah. The thing that you have to think about is, right, is to be a dream boy, it's a lifestyle. Like, it is a whole lifestyle. We give up so many things. Like, we miss all the family birthdays. You don't build close connections with many people other than, I'm thankful enough to have found a wife. I'm getting married in the next 2 years.
Oh, congrats.
But other than that, you know, you miss all the birthdays, the weddings and all of those things, right? So your identity is this.
Yeah.
And when you're faced with a loss of identity, like the second the gym is shut, the shows are shut, there's nothing going on in the world. I'm sat at home doing all the things I've never done.
Yeah.
And I've just got to be alone with my thoughts when I'm used to being touring with my family. Like, the boys are literally my family, right?
Yeah.
So if there's a problem, I at least have an ear to talk to, which, yes, I did have at home, but the pressures, you know.
It wasn't what you were used to either.
Exactly. So I've got to learn a whole new way of being, right? And being at one with myself. Mm. All I knew how to deal with my feelings was to turn to alcohol because that's what I've done before. Turn to drugs because that's what I've done before. And, you know, that's exactly what I did. I took the easy way out, right? I was just like, well, I'll just forget about it and I'll just see how long I can keep this up for.
Yeah.
Which is obviously just a vicious circle. And it progressively, like, so me and Connor, we had this moment together where we were both mashed. And we kind of looked at each other and we knew this wasn't, there was no longevity to this and it was only going in one direction while we were pretty messed up. Right. So there's irony in the situation. And we just was like, well, how do we help each other? And we started this thing called story time with Connor and Zach. and it was a way for us to kind of take the pressure off just openly communicating about our feelings. Right.
Yeah.
And while taking the drugs, didn't we?
Yeah, so we were under the influence. The barriers were down. We'd say our story time, and one of us would go, "Oh yeah, it's a great idea. I've been waiting for you to say that." And then we just start talking about problems. And then there was a transition where we just slowly started to taper off everything. And now, like, if I just wake up and I feel a bit emotional, I'm straight on the phone. We talk about our feelings. We're really good at communicating. And no matter how big or small the thing may be, the fact is I thought and felt it. So it's talk about it, you know? That's like the journey that we went
Yeah,
through.
it's really a beautiful thing. And I presume the reason that you guys want to talk about this is because you're trying to encourage other guys to do the same.
Loads of men don't. It's really quite strange. Like I'll now, from going through everything that I've been through and through Zach and I communicating so much, I can see it in other people's eyes when they're telling me they're all right, and I'm like, don't fucking lie to me. Like I've been where you've been and further when someone said to me, are you all right? Like, yeah, oh yeah, you're fine, aren't you? And I've gone, yeah, I'm well fine. In my head, I'm going, help me now, screaming in their face, saying,
Yeah.
help me, help me, help me. And my face says, I'm fine, man.
Obviously, the recommendation is not to like get off your face on drugs to start these conversations.
Oh,
So,
definitely not. Of
how
course
would
not.
you recommend someone start talking to a friend or even recognize which friends they have that they can talk to?
It's really difficult because, but anyone who I would say, if you have a best friend or someone who you do consider a brother or your mate that you hang out with all the time, test the water and tell something to them that you maybe feel uncomfortable telling. And by their response, you'll know if you need to get rid of them or not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I
Like,
do. I do.
simple as, if you can't tell your best mate anything
Yeah.
without him like judging you, then you need
Yeah.
to get a new best mate, bruv.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, I'd like to politely contest one of Connor's statements and not say it isn't difficult. I'd say we put pressure on it, right? We put pressure on ourselves to be this thing that nobody actually cares about. And actually, at the end of the day, all that matters is that you're okay and you're moving forward happily and healthily in whatever direction you want to go. And if your ultimate goal is to be able to communicate, then you need to do one of two things. You need to find someone to communicate with, or you need to pay someone. And that's unfortunately the reality of it, but I really recommend it. People have asked me before, do I recommend going to therapy? I recommend going to therapy if you have absolutely no one else you can speak to, or if you really don't know how to present that question. But the question doesn't have to be, I've been depressed for 8 months and I'm doing this and I'm taking all the drugs and I'm doing all that. And you don't need to, like, it doesn't need to have that much invested in it right off the bat. It's the same with anything. If I told you to start the gym tomorrow, you're not going to be lifting what I'm lifting. It's all about progression. So you could start by just simply, instead of going, I'm fine, just take water with, I'm not actually okay today. And you don't even go into detail, but you've taken that step. And then it's all about progression. So you can then decide to carry that conversation here, on from there. But the fact is, you took a step forward to being able to have that. And I think that's really important.
That's what people keep in. People keep in the fact that they're not okay. And then it's in their head constantly. And they're going, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. But here they are, right in their face. And they can't say
They
anything
can't
about
say
it.
it,
But
yeah.
it's that taking that first step, like Zach said, just going, today I don't feel good.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to feel good every day. You don't.
No, 100%. Well, guys, I want to say a huge thank you for your openness and your honesty. It's been a really good crack talking to you. I'm delighted for you, Zach, that you're about your engagement. I hope you have a lovely couple of years planning your wedding. Connor, keep doing those acrobatics. I would love to come and see you guys one day. Although I'd probably feel like really embarrassed. I feel like now that I've spoken to you like people, if I went to see you perform, I think I would just like, I don't know, die. How do women respond to you? Is it wild?
Do you know
Every
what?
sorts of way.
There's a real
Every single
broad
sorts of way.
spectrum. It's funny because you have your pack animals where, for some, I don't know how, but the confidence goes through the roof. You've had a little drink and you've got
Scratching,
ready.
biting, grabbing, jumping, throwing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The works. But then you have people that are also really shy, respectful, and sometimes they are like, oh my God, I can't believe he went full Monty in the show, because that happens with two guys.
Right.
And we have like two specialists. They're like, they get so taken away by our performance and like the choreography and the dancing, they almost forget what they've come to see.
Yeah.
And then that happens. And so, yeah, it's a really lovely array. There's a good
And
mix.
can I ask though, biting, scratching, all that doesn't sound cool. I feel like we talk a lot about the way you know, what's appropriate in terms of consent and the way that men treat women. But it seems to me like there's a little bit of that going the other way for you guys.
It really does. It's strange. Like, because sometimes in like after certain shows, you'll do photos or meet and greets with women and stuff like that. And some of them think it's okay to, you know, pull your hair, grab your cheeks, and your like whatever part of you, scratch your bike, like. And we all tell them it's not cool. And you know, if it was the other way around,
oh, it would be like game over.
We don't call the police. We don't do anything. Yeah. But if it was the other way around and a woman thought she was under threat, then we'd be locked up.
Maybe you should call the police. honestly, like it has to go both ways. Thank you so much again. I have really, really enjoyed talking to you. Zach Smith, Connor Stringer, two of the Dream Boys. Are you coming to Ireland, did you say?
Yes.
I hope so.
I'll see you there.
Okay, I'll see you there. Thanks so much, guys. Louise McSherry on 2FM.